Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The Watch Your Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Lila. Welcome to Watch Your Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm Lila. Lila Sage. The full name there. I'm the author of Done and Dusted and their Rebel Blue Ranch series. So I'm writing a small town cowboy romance series right now that I originally self-published and then was able to get picked up by the Dial Press. And so now I'm a traditionally published author who just really loves writing, reading, and cowboys.
I love this. I love all of it. I never thought, I'm like a city girl. Like I live like in New York and DC and Chicago. I was always a city girl, but there's something to be said after the pandemic that I picked up those small town romances, especially Montana and Wyoming.
Yeah.
Like all these cowboys, horses, these ranches, like, I'm like, oh, what a wish. Slow down, slow pace of living. That would be great.
I think a slow life is just so nice. And I love small town romances. It's like Schitt's Creek, but like cuter, I guess.
Yeah.
Like everything just exists and everybody gets to be happy.
Yeah.
And gossip is fun and not harmful in small town romances. And like real life cowboys are not this hot and wonderful. So the fictional ones always take the cake, I think.
Yes, I appreciate it. I now have a slower pace of living. I've approached a slow girl, soft girl living approach. And so it's a strange shock to the system. As someone who's like, I was just told you have the afternoon off, and I'm like, great. And I'm like, oh, I can in my old world be like, okay, I'm gonna go to a fitness class, I'm gonna do all these different things. And then I just go to my fitness studio and they don't have classes today because it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
And I'm like, oh, this is what small town does look like.
And I'm not a city girl. I'm not cut out for the city. Every time I go to New York, I like walk out of Grand Central Station, if that's how I get there. And I just like get hit in the face with everything. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in the mountains.
I feel you. It's a shock. It's either you either shock to the system where it's really slowed down.
Yes.
And everyone knows your business and everyone knows what's happening. Or you're in a place where you're stranger in a bigger, you're a small fish in this big pond and it's always on the go, 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 go. And then sometimes the pond could get smaller and you can see the same person over and over and over. And those are cute encounters. But the reality is that it's just a very different. And so I found comforting reading small town romance and then now be like, oh, living my own suburban and small townish living.
So, I love that for you.
Yeah. So let's talk about your publication journey, because you were indie, but I think you were pitching before. So it was not a linear process, like as people assume that it was. So talk to us about, was Down and Dusty the first book that you wrote? Did you write something else? Like what was the journey for this process?
Yeah. And I think it's really easy to look at my publishing journey as it kind of exists on social media, which is where obviously I got a lot of my traction, and to see it as something that's very linear. But it definitely wasn't. So I've been writing for a very, very long time. Writing's always my favorite thing to do. I think the first book that I finished was like finished. I say in air quotes because it's a book that I wrote in like the sixth grade, but it has all the things that you need, right? It has three acts. It has like a protagonist and antagonist, right? It has all the technical things that you need for it to be a book. And it's a really terrible like ripoff of Prince Caspian with dragons in it. Like it's so bad, but I love it. Because that's really what like kind of started my writing journey. So I had written a lot. And then when I was in graduate school, I decided that I was also going to try to start querying this romance book that I had written that I loved. And so I had started doing that. I still have the spreadsheet that has agents, whether I got rejected, or which happened a lot, or if I got a non-response, which also happened a lot, or if I got interested, but no thanks, which happens sometimes. And so I had gone through that process of querying and trying to find an agent for maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years, because querying can take a lot of time, right? Like, I think one thing that prepared me for it was this really wonderful Reddit thread where it was like, you need to prepare to set aside like 1 year of your life to find an agent that works, or just to like put things out there because it takes a long time for people to read it, turn it, return it, stuff like that. So I've been doing that, and I had started to get a little bit discouraged, probably because it was also winter when I was starting to get discouraged, and like there was snow everywhere and it was dark and dreary. I was in my last semester of grad school, which I was just like trudging through. And I was like, okay, if I get one more rejection or kind of one more non-response, I'm going to do it myself. That's like the Thanos voice of like, fine, I'll do it myself. And I did get another rejection. And I then was thinking really hard about what I wanted to do with this book, because I love that book. I still do. It's not done and dusted. It's totally separate, totally different. And I was like, okay, so it didn't work out. I think maybe it's just time for me to try something new and write something for fun again, write a full book for fun. And so that's what I decided to do. I watched an episode of Friday Night Lights, and I was like, you know, what would happen if Tim Riggins grew up, washed his hair, got a savings account? And that's how Luke Brooks was born. And then all of a sudden I had this family in my head and this town in my head and this ranch in my head. And I had planned out books 1 through 4 before that day had ended. And so then I started writing, and writing Done and Dusted was truly the most joyous experience of my life. I loved it because it was the first time in a long time that I had done something that I really loved solely to do it, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't really have, and I knew I was going to put it out in the world. I was going to indie publish it, right? I had access to Google and a dream and a lot of resources online and on TikTok about how indie publishing worked. And so I decided to do it. After I finished the first draft of Done and Dusted, I was like, okay, I think this is a fun book. Like, I think this is something that could bring the joy that I felt writing it to more people when they read it. So I'm going to put it out there. And so I started my author Instagram in January of 2023, maybe February. It was like, this is coming out in June. And I had such a small, I didn't have a lot of followers leading up to the release of Done and Dusted, but I had like a following that I felt so connected to. I felt so connected to my readers and to my community. And that was so special to me. And I think that's what makes Done and Dusted special, is that like core community of like 200 girls that were just excited about it. And I'm so grateful for them, seriously. So I published it on June 6th, 2023. And then I had a whirlwind couple of weeks where it, you know, hit the top 100 in Amazon and then the top 50. And then I got an email from Dial Press, and then I got an email from an agent, and I had all of these things just happening at once. All of a sudden, I was just in this massive Done and Dusted echo chamber. And it was a really difficult decision when I got this offer for Trad Pub to make, because I was happy as an indie, right? I didn't indie publish with the goal of going traditional. I indie published with the goal of putting my book out there. And so it was a tough decision, but I luckily have a really lovely agent who we talked through it for hours, and I ended up taking the deal with Dial Press. And I'm so grateful, because I think both indie and trad publishing come with their own set of challenges and their own set of perks. But one of the things that I really love about the Dial Press in particular is that I just have a team that is just cheering for me constantly, right? Like, they are punching air. They are so excited. And it feels good, because I think with being an indie can be kind of isolating. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like I was like had to be my own cheerleader all the time, which I'm so happy doing. But every once in a while, it's nice to take a break and let other people cheer for you too. And that has been lovely with the Dial Press. They're great there.
So I have to tell you, those just 200 friends that you had were so important in that point, because I remember picking your book thanks to those 200 fans. Like,
yeah,
it was word of mouth. Like, it wasn't like, and I picked that book early on, and it was like, there's always a question as a debut author. We're not sure what's happening. This is just basically, we're seeing some buzz about it, and we'll talk about the buzz a little bit later, but there was some buzz about it, and was like, well, let's just see what it's all about. And I was like pleasantly surprised. I was like, this is great. And I was telling my other friend, and then my other friend told the other friend and the other friend and the other friend. And so that word of mouth is like, sometimes we forget that it's not just like you put the thing in the world. It's like, also you have fans who root for you and need to tell the other friend. and the other fan and the other fan, and it snowballs. Like sometimes you have these hits that's just snowballs, and this is what happened. But it's, you nursed that relationship as early as February.
Yes, correct. I think like, and I had 45-ish ARC readers. And so, right, those ARC readers, those original kind of 200 followers that I built up in February, like they were so pivotal in my publishing journey. And like you said, like I couldn't believe when Donna Dusty came out that people were reading it, let alone that people were reading it and liking it enough to tell their friends about it.
Yeah.
Incredible. I think about it still, and I just am like, oh.
So the other thing we need to talk about, which is the cover, because the cover is so different. It tells you it's a cowboy romance. It tells you like there's going to be romance here, and it gives you an idea, but it's so different from what we are seeing. Yes, it's an illustrated cover, but it's different. We're going to return back to the Cinch cover that we love so much as longtime romance readers that we don't see enough. So talk to them about the cover design process, because I'm assuming you were part of it in its decision making.
Correct. And that's the great thing about being an indie also, is like you've got a lot of control. And my thing is that I knew exactly what I wanted my cover to look like as soon as I kind of decided on Done and Dusted, as I had written it. And it turned out kind of to be a Western, which is a genre I love. But I knew exactly what I wanted. Like I had a very specific vision, which turned out to be a great thing. But at the beginning, it was really hard because I had found three artists that I was like, okay, I think this could work. I got the covers back from them. I had paid for these three covers and I didn't like any of them. And so I liked them, but I didn't like them for me, right? I had a classic kind of Cinch cover in my mind. I had vintage rodeo posters from my hometown in my mind. Like I just had very specific inspiration, and I have a background in graphic design. And so I also had like, I just, in my head, I knew what I wanted. And then I came across my cover artist. Her name's Austin Drake on Instagram. And she does vintage illustrations, usually of like cool looking women. And I was like, I think this is it. Like, I think she could help me realize my vision. And she did. Right. I knew I wanted to communicate romance. I wanted it to communicate that it's cowboy. I wanted somebody to be able to look at that and think, okay, I could like this, or maybe that's not for me. I'm not a cowboy girl, right? Like, I wanted it to communicate as clearly as possible what this book was about while also being kind of fresh and unique. And I love vintage. I love art. I kind of have a background in art. And so I ended up with a cover that is not only so Rebel Blue, so Done and Dusted, so cowboy, but also so Lila. Like, that cover is like my personality in a book cover. And that was just such a joy. I loved creating that cover. I loved creating Swift and Saddled because that one was done before the Trad Deal 2. And I'm so grateful that people see the value in this cover, because now, right, like the cover didn't change when I went Trad. It stayed the same. And I get to have Austin on board for all four books, which is just so magnificent because so many people do pick it up because of the cover. And I just am continuously grateful to Austin for sharing her talents with me and my stories.
Oh my gosh, I love the story. Yeah, like I thought the cover, it just stood out. I think sometimes when you're trying to figure out a cover, or like figure out what book to read, sometimes you do a cover buy, like a cover, like it just looks like it stands out. It tells me what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm going to do it. And this is the mood that I am in. And so it really, I think it's like, it's a really great business decision. I know it probably sucked to pay for other covers, but it was a great business decision to hold on to that cover, because I think the cover in some ways attracted a whole audience that normally would not have, because you're meeting a market need that hasn't been met in a while. Like now we're getting back to JGL having Cinch covers as special editions and all these different things, but it's been a while. We haven't had Cinch covers in like 10, 20 years.
Yeah. And it's fun to see like this new spin on it, right? Like, again, it's a Cinch cover pose, but with a very kind of vintage Western texture, I guess. Like it's just texture and style. I love that cover. I want it projected on my headstone. I think it's the best thing ever. And I think they just get better and better from there.
Oh, I'm excited. Can we talk about Swift and Saddled? What can we expect a little bit? Just give us a teaser.
Yes. I love Swift and Saddled. I love it so much. So it's about Wes, Emmy's middle brother, who has a severe case of middle child syndrome, and Ada, who's a newcomer to Rebel Blue. And it's so exciting to write from the perspective of a newcomer because she sees all of these relationships that we know and love from kind of a new lens, which is exciting. But it's she comes to help with the renovation for a guest ranch. And so it's got some HGTV vibes, boss, employee, forced proximity. He falls first because I am only capable of writing simps. That's just who I am. And it's a very fun and very thoughtful novel. And I think a lot of the things, because I wrote Swift and Saddled, I was writing it before Done and Dusted came out, but I wrote the bulk of it post Done and Dusted, post June 6th. And I think a lot of these like feelings of maybe inadequacy that I was feeling, feelings of nervousness, imposter syndrome. And even when Done and Dusted was getting so big that I felt that I was going to kind of drown in this echo chamber, even though it was all positive and lovely, Swift and Saddled was like my lifeboat. So it's a novel that means a lot to me, and I can't wait for people to read it. I think it's sweet and fun and steamy, but also Wes is just like a soft baby boy. And every once in a while, we just really need a soft boy.
I am so excited for this book. And so it's coming out next year. So something to look forward to.
Close. And it comes out. I forget that. I always think March is month 4 for some reason. I don't know why, but it's month 3 and it comes out right at the beginning. So I think it's going to come a lot faster than anticipated. And also chapter 1 is in the back of Done and Dusted now. And it's a good one. I'm really proud of Swift and Saddled. I'm really, really proud of it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So let's talk about reading life. And your pre-interview, you share that you read some romance, but you also read some horrors and sort of psychological thriller, like some thriller, some paranormal thrillers. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So you talked to us about paranormal thrillers. What does that mean? Like, is it like paranormal romance? Are you like werewolf and vampires or magical?
So like normally in thrillers, right, there could be something that it like the twist or this like overarching element is something that's like man-made. So not paranormal, right? It's just like a person who is the villain. It's a human villain. But in a paranormal thriller, I think maybe one that's really popular that most people know about because of the TV show is The Haunting of Hill House, right? There's paranormal activity in that thriller. So it kind of, it becomes like a little bit more like larger than life. So I deal with a lot of like, I love a haunted house story. I love a ghost story. So I just like it when like paranormal activity is kind of the underlying villain of the story instead of like a human.
Oh my God, I love this. And thank you for instructing us. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just like love a ghost story. I love ghosts. I like to read under my heated blanket. So again, every recommendation I give is like, this would be good to read whilst under a heated blanket. Lots of thrillers.
I love this. It's like cozy fall weather.
Yes. And where I live, it was so hot until it wasn't. And now it's like freezing. And now I'm like, I gotta get in all the thrillers and all the spooky vibes.
I'm on summer year round. So I was like, I miss the fall. It's been like 20 years of fall. And now I'm like, I miss it. I don't have it. I live in Florida. So, you know.
That is a lot of, summer.
It is also where you're wrong, which is, it is okay. I should be comfortable with it because I grew up in Puerto Rico, which is summer year round. So I'm like, but then I move up north to live my city life. And so it is what it is. But all right, so let's talk some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes. So I think if you are into, if you're interested in kind of experiencing a thriller or a horror novel, I think that Riley Sager is a great place to start, especially for romance readers, because there's always a little bit of a romance subplot. I don't want to say romance subplot in like exactly, but there's always a guy that the main character is going to make out with for a second. And I think sometimes it's easier to read a new genre when you know that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the last book I read from him is called The Only One Left. It's his latest book. And it is kind of a haunted house story. Less paranormal activity, but it is very good. I just read The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. And that is a very fun kind of paranormal, witchy, cozy romance. I felt like I was just wrapped in a hug the whole time. It was so, so lovely. And that one has been out for almost a little over a year. And I'm so mad at myself that it sat on my shelf since its release day and I didn't read it. So if it's sitting on your shelf, I recommend picking it up right now because it is so, so good. So The Vampires of El Norte is my newest obsession. I've read that book twice since I got it. It is a gothic paranormal romance, historical, with vampires. Vampires are making their comeback right now, and I'm so, so, so happy about it. The Vampires of El Norte is by Isabel Tañez. That's like a masterclass in how to write a book. I can't believe me and her use the same 26 letters of the alphabet to write her, but that's insane to me. It is so good. If you are looking for like a spooky, sensual vampire read, I definitely recommend that one. I'm probably going to read it again because I just got the audio. So it is just so good. A classic that I read every fall, whether it's fall Halloween time, fall Thanksgiving time, since it came out, is Her Soul to Take by Harley LaRue. I love Harley LaRue. She writes dark romance, so make sure you check the trigger warnings before you pick it up. But Her Soul to Take is a very fun, spooky small town romance. So like a small town where things are off. The vibes are not what they should be. Something's going on behind the scenes. And there is a hot demon involved, which we love to see.
We love to see.
So definitely recommend picking that one up. And then the last one is an all-time favorite of mine, which is The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston. That is, I think, probably one of the most beautiful books that I've ever read and probably holds the record for making me cry earliest. I think I cried within like the first 30 pages. I don't know. It just hit me really, really hard. It's a very beautiful story about a girl who's coping with loss and family. But then also there's this fun kind of I see dead people thing going on in her life. And it turns into this really beautiful organic love story. I love that book. If you hear somebody shouting from the rooftops about it, don't be alarmed. It's just me. And that's another one. I think I'd only had that on my shelf for like a week after it came out when I picked it up. And I was mad at myself. I was like, you should have read this the first day. You should have read this before it came out somehow. You had to love it longer. So those are my book recs that you should read in the company of a heated blanket.
Oh my God. These are perfect fall reads. All of them are perfect fall reads. So, which we are. So it's perfect.
Right. And just because Halloween's going to be over doesn't mean fall read time is over. Until I do fall reads until December 1st, usually. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll try to find like a holiday novella or something.
Yeah. There we go. Awesome. Let's tell us where we can find you online.
Yes, you can find me at author Lila Sage on all platforms. So the ones I'm most frequent or most active on are definitely Instagram and TikTok. I also love to mess around on Threads a lot. So if you want to see my stream of consciousness thoughts, that's a good place to check those out. And if you ever wanted to get in touch with me, lilasagewrites@gmail.com is a great way to do that. DMs, not reliable.
There we go. Thank you, Lila, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.